In the previous track, we discussed four common, if only, rationalizations the battered woman uses to gain a feeling of managing the unmanageable. If you recall, the if onlys were related to alcohol, dysfunctional family history, uncontrollable anger, and insecurity. In this track, we will be unraveling guilty feelings that result from their relationship with a batterer. Where do these guilty feelings come from? Who is your client listening to? As you know, being in a battering relationship often causes feelings of guilt and responsibility for the abuser's behavior or problem. Michelle, age 37, probably is similar to a client you are currently treating. Like many battered women, she believes that she deserved the physical abuse she received from her husband, Steve. As you know, a battered woman's feeling that she deserves the abuse may stem from our society's common belief that it is a woman's role to uphold a marriage and make sure her children are safe. Citing research from her book, Battered Wives, Del Martin states that women do not remain in the relationship simply because they like being battered. As you are aware, battered women have trouble leaving because of many complex psychosocial reasons. These psychosocial reasons can also be called the placing the blame process. Think for a minute. Ask yourself, how does the placing the blame process contribute to the guilt that battered women feel? Michelle stated, "I'm not really a very good mother. The children have seen Steve slap and hit me on many occasions, but it's almost always because of my stupidity." Does this sound like a client you are currently treating? Like many battered women, Michelle has put the blame on herself and is convinced that Steve's abuse is her fault and that she deserves it. However, let's look at the other side of the placing the blame coin. Michelle felt guilty because she could not meet all of Steve's needs. Here is a list of three questions I asked Michelle in order to assist her in unraveling her guilty feelings by discovering their source. The first question deals with ownership of beliefs. Question number one, are these thoughts and ideas that you truly believe? Michelle stated, "Sometimes in my gut, when Steve calls me an idiot, I feel sick and twisted inside. Like, maybe he's just on a power trip, and this is what he thinks." A second question deals with increasing awareness of habitual patterns. Question number two is, are you so used to hearing these thoughts and ideas from Steve that you aren't even thinking about what they really mean? Michelle continued, "But Steve says this so much, I begin to think I am an idiot too." The third question deals with providing the client with the ability to consider the source of the feedback. Question number three is, do you trust the person that you are hearing this advice from? Michelle and I discussed whether or not someone is the right person to ask for help or feedback. In summary, the three questions you might consider asking your client are related to ownership of belief. Question number one, are these thoughts and ideas something you really believe? Question number two, habitual patterns. Are you used to hearing these thoughts and ideas so often that you feel that they are true? Question number three, evaluating the source. Is the person saying these things someone who you can really trust? The next track discusses guilt specific to the battered woman's children. Question number four, what are three questions you might discuss to facilitate the unraveling of the battered woman's feelings of guilt?